So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Things are a little somber here in the TFR studios. Lost a very, very, very dear and close friend at the end of last week. This was, for all intents and purposes, my foster mother. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. My real mom is still around, so is my dad, my stepfather. Very close with my dad, very close with my mom and my stepdad. They're both wonderful people. But I had the fortune to be pretty much adopted by a family down the street from me when I first moved to this area back in 1984. I came here and I found out firsthand what Southern hospitality is really all about. You see, my senior year in high school, my dad took a job that brought him out of state. So I was essentially living on my own when I was 16 and 17 years old. My dad left the checkbook and I paid the bills and I maintained the house and stocked it with food. And for about a year and a half, I pretty much lived here by myself. I had some neighbors down the street, went to school with their oldest son. He was a year behind me. And he and I got to be very good friends, although our friendship probably started out a little bit on the rocky side when I heard a commotion in my backyard one night after I'd moved down here. Didn't realize that everyone in the neighborhood used our yard as a cut-through to get through to the other side of the block, and my dog started barking, and of course I grabbed a gun, came out the back door, and encountered him. But we eventually got through that, and he became my best friend in the entire world. And his younger brother became very good friends with me. They basically became my foster brothers. When my dad was out of town so much, they'd invite me down for dinner. It's not they didn't know how to cook, mind you. I learned how to cook when I was 12 years old, but they opened their doors and welcomed me into their family. And I had a place to go at Christmas and Thanksgiving and all other holidays. They became my extended family. I actually even voted on family matters at family meetings. We were that close. So to lose my foster mother was very unexpected. Now, it's something that we all have to deal with at some point, but I never expected it to be this soon. And as I said, she was just as much a mother to me as my real mom. I guess in some ways she was a more of a mother to me because she was right here. And I had a dad I lived with, but having that mother figure in your life when something bothers you and you got a shoulder to cry on, it makes all the difference in the world. And her husband became a foster father to me. And tell you a funny story here. My family has a kind of an odd way of saying hello and goodbye. And I don't mean my immediate family. I have a brother and two sisters, and we don't do this, but our family in general. My dad is one of 10 children. Used to be 10 children, unfortunately. Four of my aunts and uncles are now gone. But our clan itself of uncles and cousins is about 60, and then with all my cousins having kids, we're way over 120 people in the family now. But one of the things that we did was to wave hello and goodbye using only one finger, and I think you can pretty much determine which finger that was. Well, my dad and I have been doing this since I was 12 years old. So one afternoon, I'm standing in the front yard of my foster family, and my dad came up the road in the old 67 Pontiac station wagon, and he beeped the horn, and I proceeded to flip him off. And all of a sudden, I heard this very deep voice behind me say, "Boy, what is the matter with you?" And I turned around, and here came my neighbor's father, and he was going to grab me, and he was going to swat me a really good one, and he chased me all over the yard, and my friend is hollering, no, that's what they do, that's what they do, that's how they wave hello and goodbye. And he said, "Well, I don't know about that," but as the years went by, he and I got to where we would do it ourselves. He became a part of the family tradition as well. And it's really nice to have friends like that that you can count on, and you don't necessarily know where to draw the line. Are they friend? Are they family? Are they both? And in my case, they were both. And that is why I am going to miss this woman so, so terribly much. It's been 21 years since I lost my foster dad, and now I've lost my foster mom. But I spoke at the funeral, and I talked about something, and I'm going to share that with you here today as well. Because I came across some wonderful, wonderful words many, many years ago. It's coming up on, I guess, maybe close to 30 years or so. I attended a funeral at a little stone chapel out in the middle of nowhere here in North Carolina. And the pastor had a poem. It was a very wonderful poem. And when the service was over, I went up and talked to him and asked him if I could have it. And he gave it to me. And I kept it for years, and unfortunately over the years it has long since disappeared, but with the advent of this wonderful thing called the internet, I was able to find it online. So I've still been able to share this poem and the story behind it with hundreds of people over the years, just myself, and of course I'll be sharing it with you today as well. But this poem has been shared over the years probably hundreds of thousands of times. It's become very well known, and it is a source of healing for a lot of people. Now, the author of this particular poem was actually a poet laureate by the name of Helen Steiner Rice, and she was very close with her daughter. Unfortunately, her daughter died very suddenly and dramatically. I don't remember exactly how she died. I want to say it was a car wreck, but I do know that it was very tragic. And Helen and her daughter had a relationship much like I have with my own father. Now, I've talked to you about my dad on this show before, and you know how close we are. Came to live with my dad when I was 12 years old, and except for a few years when I was married, and then about 7 years when I was living with someone else, my dad and I have pretty much been bachelors since 1981, and we have established a father and son relationship as well as a friendship. My dad's my best friend in the entire world, that most men only wish that they could have either with their dad or with their son. My dad and I have always had that. He's always been there for me. And folks, I have screwed up a couple of times over the years, some pretty big. And my dad was always there to back me up. Now, I mean, I never broke the law or got arrested or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. I just did some foolish things or crazy things or stupid things. And he always had my back, just like your dad should. And this is the relationship that Helen Steiner Rice had with her daughter. So she was absolutely devastated beyond words when she lost her so suddenly and so early in life. She was very confused, and she wanted to know why this has happened. Now, I've had this happen myself. I've lost an unborn child. I know what it's like to lose a child. So she asked God the same thing that I did. Why have you done this to me? God, why have you taken my child? I'm asking you. You're not answering me. I'm on my own. Why have you forsaken me? And the Lord answered, my child, I have not forsaken you. I have been here all along. I have always been with you. But I do not have the answers that you are seeking. Well, she was very puzzled by this because this was, of course, God Almighty. She said, but God, you have all the answers. You're the Lord. You know everything. And God said, there are some things that I do not know and some things that I cannot help you with. You must look into your own heart to find the answers that you're looking for. And she was very puzzled and confused by this. And she said, I don't understand. What do you mean? How can I have the answers? I'm asking you. And God smiled and he replied, you must look within your own heart. You must look within yourself and you will find the answer. I promise you. So she thought about this. And suddenly it dawned on her what the Lord meant and what his message to her was. We all wish that we could have that one final conversation with that person that we've lost. Tell them one last thing or ask them one more question. We've all wanted to do this. We cannot go through life. You cannot tell me that you have never done this. We all have. But what would we say to ourselves if we were the other person? And it finally dawned on Helen what the Lord meant. She needed to hear these words from her own daughter. Her daughter needed to tell her that everything was okay. So she sat down and she began to compose a poem. And she was a well-known poet at this point. But this particular poem is called When I Must Leave You. And it ended up becoming her most famous work of all. In her time of grief, she shared what was going on inside of her. And she wrote what she felt her daughter would tell her if she had the opportunity to sit down and speak with her one more time. And I want you to think about these words, folks, because they have brought me peace and solitude and tranquility so many times over the years. And I have shared them with so many people so many times over the years. And it has always helped them. They're very kind and positive words. And I want you to listen to these words and to reflect upon them, to take them into your heart and understand their meaning and apply it to yourself. Again, this poem is called When I Must Leave You by Helen Steiner Rice. When I must leave you for a little while, please do not grieve and shed wild tears and hug your sorrow to you throughout the years, but start out bravely with a gallant smile. And for my sake and in my name, live on and do all things the same. Feed not your loneliness on empty days, but fill each waking hour in useful ways. Reach out your hand in comfort and cheer, and I in turn will comfort you and hold you near. And never, never be afraid to die. For I am waiting for you up in the sky. Such wonderful words, aren't they, folks? Such wonderful words. When we lose someone, we miss them horribly. We grieve. That's normal. But sometimes we need to understand that our loved ones have departed us for a reason, that they are in a much better place. And while we grieve in our human form, it's natural. It is. The grieving process is part of being human. We grieve. We cry. We miss. We want them back. But knowing, in the long run, that sometime we will be reunited with our loved ones forever is such a comforting thought. Think about it, my friends. Very, very comforting indeed. All of us, every single one of us, will one day find ourselves in this position. Maybe some of you listening to this have already lost someone very dear to you. If not, at some point in the future, you will. It's inevitable. So remember this poem, and remember these words, and take solace, as I have, in their comfort and what they mean. I myself have recently had a tremendous loss, as I have shared with you. And in the very near future, I am going to have even more. In addition to just losing my foster mother, a very dear friend of mine for almost a decade is doing very poorly, and I am going to lose her very soon as well. And my dad, my best friend, has recently been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And I know that my time with him is very limited as well. So, at some point in the very near future, I will be reading this poem to myself and listening to those words and absorbing their meaning and applying it to my own situation. So I guess now I am giving myself advice for some time in the future, and I'll probably have to drag out the archive of this show and play it back and listen to it and take advice from myself. And I'll tell you, when that day comes, I'm going to miss my dad terribly. He's always been there for me when I needed him. I can still ask him questions about things from when I was a child, things I've forgotten about, something that pops up, a topic, and he'll remember and he'll answer the question for me. But he's always been there. Oh, one time, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms paid me a visit. My dad was backing out of the driveway, and they had parked in the street and just wandered up in the yard, and he about ran him over with the car. And he thought they were reporters, so he jumped out and he asked them who the hell they were and what the hell they were doing in his yard. And one of them said, had a very surprised look on his face and said, we're federal agents and we'd like to speak with Tommy. So he whistled and I came around. I was on my motorcycle. I was getting ready to pull out, so went up to see what was going on. Dad said, these guys are feds and they want to talk to you. So they confirmed who I was, and my dad looked at them and said, whatever my son is into, I'm into. And folks, you would not believe the look of surprise on those two guys' faces. I guess they had never seen what strong family ties really are, that blood really is thicker than water. And they were very surprised to see that my dad, without even knowing what this visit was about, had my back 100%. And I'm going to miss that very, very much. Every day that goes by, we get closer and closer to that inevitable day. One day, my dad will be gone. My friend will be gone. my mom will be gone, my stepfather will be gone, and gradually, one by one, other friends and family and relatives will start to leave me behind. And those will be very, very difficult times indeed. I always knew that one day I would have to do a tribute show on here. I never thought it would be this soon. I really didn't. I'm going to ask each and every one of you to please say a prayer for my extended family, to my two foster brothers, their wife and ex-wife, and to the five grandchildren and the great-grandchild that have been left behind. Please keep them in your thoughts and prayers as they struggle to maintain their lives and get back on track. It's so difficult, but knowing that there are people out there praying for you and keeping you in their thoughts is so very, very reassuring. It's going to be very difficult driving past that house every day, looking, seeing the car, knowing the house is empty, and knowing that she's gone. And thinking back on this, when we found her, her granddaughter had not heard from her and was checking in, and the door was locked, so she came up to the house looking for a key, and unfortunately, we found my foster mom. And I remember my niece saying to me how she had had some cross words with her grandmother a few days before, and how badly she felt about that. And I tried to convey to her, I don't know how successful I was, that we all say and do things. We don't always mean what we say and do, but things are always forgiven. Now again, I go back to the relationship I have with my own dad. Once in a great while, we have to say, I'm sorry. Yeah, I made a big mistake. For the most part, somebody says something, somebody else says something else, and a minute later, we're good to go. No apology is necessary. And I hope my niece understands this. No apology was necessary. She understood. You had your differences. So don't feel bad. All wounds have been healed. Think back on the wonderful times that you had with your grandmother and cherish those memories. Well, producer George is tapping his paw here, letting me know I've got a little less than 1 minute left before the outro starts. So I'm going to have to try and wrap this up here. No commercial break today, folks. This went through. Just needed to talk to you about this and share all those words of encouragement with everyone. I'm not going to use The Streets of Desolation, my typical outro today. I really thought about what I wanted, and the best thing I could come up with was See You on the Other Side by Ozzy Osbourne. And so, I will leave you with these final words. Virginia, I miss you very, very much. And one day, I will see you on the other side. Until next week, my friends. This has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.
Time has passed for choices.